Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bringerno. I'm joined by the precocious
Emilio Sparks.
Now, you had a great idea for an episode. I caught you in the Staten Island Mall.
We were both wearing our masks.
We were
socially distanced.
Of course.
You were with your papa.
Yes, I was.
You were buying some equipment, buying a computator machine.
I needed a computator.
And you said something about t-shirts.
Yeah.
Buying lots of t-shirts. Yeah. And you know I buy.
You buy everything.
All
apparently.
I have is t-shirts.
I mean t-shirts and toys.
You know how it is.
It's a growing empire.
You bet it is. I have one button-down shirt. You know what I call that shirt?
What?
Funeral shirt. Oh, I'm going to a funeral? All right, I guess I'll take out the funeral shirt.
Yeah.
Any other situation, I got a t-shirt for it.
I call shirts with collars prison.
You have no idea. Buttons? Buttons, please.
I haven't worn any type of denim since the lockdown last March.
I still like denim because I feel like denim is the perfect thing. It is. It's soft yet firm.
Right.
So, but you had the idea, let's do an episode. And it's one of these things where I thought, wow, this is why I'm going to do PCMC for the rest of my life. Because there's always a new idea that, how do we never do this before?
Yeah.
The arts and science, that's what I'm thinking of this episode as. We're talking about the arts and science of t-shirt and t-shirt collecting.
Yeah.
And of course, when we say this, we mean graphic tees.
Yes.
We don't mean white, wife lover shirts or the tank tops. We're talking about t-shirts with a fucking image. Right now, I'm wearing a black t-shirt with a xenomorph on it. Xenomorph, of course, being the alien from the motion picture Aliens. And he's wearing a tuxedo. I'm not sure why.
Well, you got to be snazzy.
Exactly. He's This is one I don't wear at work because he's bloody.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. But there's only a few t-shirts I won't wear at work.
Okay.
I don't wear this. I don't wear the one with Laura Palmer that says, "Who killed Laura Palmer?" It's a bit, you know, the shirt says killed on it, but everything else is a go. Not job interviews, of course.
Oh, you got it with a funeral shirt.
But once you hire me, I'm showing up in...
Right.
When I was an educator and I was teaching at the college level, I would match my shirts for something in the lesson. And it was like an Easter egg. Sometimes the smart students would be like, "Oh shit, that's why you're wearing that shirt. Because you just talked about that." Like, I used to have a nice, beautiful pink MTV shirt, like the old MTV. The thing about t-shirts is, as much as I nurture them and I want them to last forever, such is not life.
No.
Everything, all things pass, as the great George Harrison said.
You were born into dust, and dust you shall return.
I know. Do you ever think about old shirts and go, "God, I wish."
Absolutely.
I wish I had that shirt again.
Yeah, the fucking shirts that I had to rebuy that I'm showing you today.
What do you got? What do you
well,
got?
Well, before we get into that, I want to know, how many t-shirts do you think you actually own?
Ooh, currently in the archive.
You know what? Let's do both. Hit me with two numbers. Because you got to rotate the supply, obviously.
I would say, really, in terms of what I really wear, only about 100.
Okay, that's doable.
In my life? Oh, boy. Sometimes I'll see an old picture and I'll go, "Hey, I remember that shirt. Me and that shirt had a good time."
I remember you...
I smoked weed in every shirt back in the day, but remember that shirt?
I remember you as the guy that would wear the Beastie Boys t-shirt in, I forget, one of our classes that we had together.
Call it every class every day.
Yeah.
I got that from my older brother. It was a Beastie Boys shirt, but it looked like a basketball.
Yeah, it was t-shirt. So you. It was so you. It was so good.
And it was so soft, and I wore it into the ground. I wore it till it was threadbare. And I do that. And then they graduate or demote to inside shirts.
Okay.
Right now, I've got my inside shirts are NASA. I've got two NASA shirts. There's a certain type of material that's very soft, but if you wash it, I'm going to say six times, it's done. The color goes, it becomes threadbare. I've got a Haunted Mansion inside shirt.
Of course you
which
do.
Which just got demoted to inside. And it's a beautiful shirt, but it just...
Can't risk going outside in public anymore.
Can't wash it. It loses its form.
It's done. Yeah.
So, but over the years, I don't know, thousands. It's really all I wear. My uniform in life are sneakers, jeans, t-shirt, sweatshirt if it's cold.
Right. It's funny that you say uniform because when I worked for the Disney of corporate professional wrestling, I kind
of
had...
Disney of the one thing Disney doesn't own.
Yeah, right. I would wear the same thing over and over again, but I had so
many. And that was a unitard.
Yeah, of course. It was a onesie. It was beautiful. You know, with a pair of Jordans. no, but I have, if I like one thing.
Yes.
I will buy it in bulk.
So if, this is true for like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
If it's a t-shirt with fucking Tweety Bird on it and you love it, you'll buy that same exact shirt?
Oh yeah, I'll buy about six or seven of them. So
I've done that.
So I remember I was on the road. I was in the South.
Yes.
And I did not pack enough. And I had to stay a couple extra days. So I went to the Walmart.
Uh-oh.
And I went to, first time ever.
A Walmart in the South, you said?
Yeah, my first time ever. And I got St. John's Bay t-shirts.
And they was probably like 25 cents.
They were
the shit in Walmart is so cheap.
They were soft. They're amazing. They were black.
See, I'm gonna push back on you a little bit.
And let me tell you something. The way they hung on my massive boulder shoulders.
Okay.
And my wonderful traps. I was styling and profiling.
But have they lasted?
Yes, they have.
See, were those graphic or were those just like regular? Just
regular, plain,
well, maybe that's
black
the thing.
St. John's Bay t-shirts. Get a, listen, PCMC faithful, buy yourself plain black St. John's Bay t-shirts. You will not regret this.
Wrong.
You can't go wrong. So my outfits were always a plain black t-shirt, Levi's 501 denim, black, you know, slim fit.
Yeah.
And a pair of Jordans or Yeezys.
I think they call that the Hank Moody.
That was the Hank Moody. I never wore anything else. Like, it was to the point
where that.
My coworkers would come to me and go, if we did not know you, we would think you would just wash the same outfit every day. But we've seen when you travel, it's the same thing literally over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right down to the black socks, right down to the black underwear. I was very, and I'm Mike, you've known me. When have you ever seen me in any other color outside of black?
Right, exactly.
It's not, I guess I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
So when I was cleaning out my dressers, I was like, what do I get rid of? So I was getting rid of just plain black tees because I know, I can just buy new ones. But then I have an emotional investment towards some of them because you wash them, they get a little bit more softer, they hang on you better. Right. So I'm like, damn, all right, cool. Now, I don't have a system like you where one t-shirt becomes a inside shirt. Mine is, well, I have a gym shirt. Okay, I have what
I
like.
I do have a class of shirts that are gym shirts.
Right. I have ones that are also just what I like to call like the cut gym shirts, where like all the sleeves are cut off and I have that weird douchey cut where you see like it's really low and obnoxious and my armpits are showing and you can see like the first two ribs.
Right.
So I have those type of t-shirts. So I just have one dresser drawer just for that.
Okay.
And I have one dresser drawer just for my plain black tees. Then I have one dresser drawer, which I'm changing because I'm redoing my closet. That's just going to become... For my wrestling t-shirts and my vintage apparel.
No, I feel like though, I mean, I've seen you in t-shirts, but I feel like that wasn't always your thing.
What, all black?
No, t-shirts.
No, not at all.
So what's changed?
Oh man, probably.
Because I remember, I feel like you used to very, like, I'm trying to think of where seeing you in like a graphic tee. And I don't think I remember you.
No, I was never really a big graphic tees guy. Yeah. I was always a solid t-shirt wearer. And then I would layer it with a... St. Laurent jacket or fucking a leather jacket or whatever, man. You know what I mean? Like, I would always do something like that. So I would, my thing was, okay, buy affordable denim, really cheap and inexpensive t-shirts, and then pair them with an expensive pair of sneakers and a jacket.
Yes.
That was always
my uniform.
That was my uniform. Always. I was like, yeah, I feel like Batman.
I think my feeling about my uniform is that I think it's completely... It's comfortable, but also it is, how do I put this? I feel like this is the zenith of clothing. We figured it out. We got there.
Oh, yeah.
Sneakers with soft soles, jeans, and a t-shirt. This is it. This,
done.
We have reached the apex of the most functional clothing a person should wear. Anything else is accoutrement that I have no time for.
Absolutely. You know, fashion designers try to reinvent the wheel in terms of clothing.
Yeah.
Right? It's either you go extremely minimal like you're Kanye West And then all these other small little fashion houses, as I use the bunny ears, fashion houses, like Zara and H&M and all these other ones, you know. Then they copy that. And then joggers became a big thing, so people want to copy joggers. And now athletic leisure wear is another thing now, where these tons of these mom and pop Instagram shops are popping up now. And I've bought a couple of, like, you know, things from, like, Minimal Clothing, where they copy Fear of God by Jerry Lorenzo.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just real, like, long drawstrings on the pants, and then, like, a two-tone, so it's a solid black, and then, like, red piping going down the side, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, everything has a trend and everything rides a wave. But in terms of fashionability and sensibility, you can never go wrong with a pair of denim, a t-shirt, and if boots are your stees, you wear a pair of boots, or you wear a pair of sneakers. That's never going to change. Right. That's the style. That's where you go. People now go out and wear t-shirts to fancy restaurants because they're wearing expensive jackets on top of it.
Right, right, right.
So, like, the costume, the uniform itself, that is, to me, the easy part. The hard part is, what am I going to layer it? Mm-hmm. What pair of Jordans am I going to wear with this? Mm-hmm. What jacket am I going to wear with this? Do I want to wear a hoodie? Do I want to wear a flannel? Like, that's the thing now. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I don't want to think when I buy my shit. I don't want to think when I got to put on my shit. I know when I open up a drawer, oh, okay, cool. Here's today's t-shirt, plain black St. John's Bay. Going to pop it on.
Albert Einstein only had one outfit, and he would wear it every day. He had, like, 40 of the same slacks, 40 of the same t-shirt, 40 of the same button-down, same shoes. He literally, I mean, he would change it. It would be different, but it was the one thing. He had no style choices because he said, I don't want to waste any of my mind's power on figuring out what I'm going to wear today.
Right. I love it. I think it's so simple in regards to just, yo, I just want to, I want to be like He-Man. I want to be like Fred Flintstone. Every day you get to see me in the same outfit. Nothing's ever going to change.
It is true. It's like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
You brought a bag of goodies.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Some t-shirts.
Yeah, this started during the pandemic because, you know.
See, go back to what we were saying. Graphic tees is a new thing for you.
Yeah.
Well, whereas for me, I've always been a graphic tee guy.
Right. Well, I would never wear half the shit that you own, but I like them.
Right.
And I think they fit you, and I think they compliment you. I don't know if I could pull off that t-shirt.
Why? The alien t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just my thing. I don't know. I don't.
Well, that's an interesting thing, right? Because I was just talking about how it's sort of utilitarian. It's, this is my outfit. Yet, the chest piece allows for a little bit of flair.
Well, individualism.
Right, like, but again, it's very postmodern. It's very now, right? It's very millennial. It's individual. It's my individualism through corporatized IP. So it's like, you know, is it a Star Wars day? Is it an Alien day?
Right, right.
Is it a Disney day? Is it some weird thing? You know what I mean?
You're also a walking billboard for consumerism in your own
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. And but instead of them paying me, I have paid.
Yeah.
I have paid to advertise their brand.
Absolutely.
But it becomes one of the things that constructs my, you know,
right,
persona.
And I dig it. But see, that doesn't fit in with my methodology of graphic t-shirts to wear.
All right. What? You know okay. What? Because, I mean? Yeah, I want to know what you're working with in terms of graphic tees.
In terms of graphic tees, I just started this. So more, again, I think everything now goes on the nostalgia kick.
Of course. Well, of course.
So anything that I'm getting, I don't know if it's going to be like a millennial ha 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 tee, like the alien wearing a tuxedo.
I have to say, this for me is rare because typically I don't like punny shirts and I don't like
right.
There's a joke here shirt.
Right.
Like, I like this because I think it was a good image of the alien like the alien.
No, it's a great shirt.
And by the way, I try to not be so postmodern that there's no genuineness to it. Like, I would never wear a shirt for a movie I don't like. Yeah. I've got to like it somewhat or have liked it when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? There's very few exceptions. Like, I have a Zelda shirt, and I never really played Zelda. And I just like the iconography of Zelda. But that's a rare exception. Usually, it's got to be something that I actually like.
Right, right. Like, I have a shirt that I thought I did not like that was gifted to me. Uh-huh. It was a concert tee. I went to the concert with my buddy. My buddy bought me the shirt because it was my birthday. He's like, listen, I want to get you this gift. Sure. This is years ago. It was too small. Like, not super small, but it doesn't, you know, it's a large, but it's one of those weird larges where after you wash it, it becomes a schmedium.
Yeah.
So I turned it into a gym tee.
Sure.
And now it's one of those popular gym tees that people go, oh, that's a great gym t-shirt. But it had, I like the band The Used. And it was during their run where they were using Lucha Libre artwork.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect gym shirt. I didn't bring that today.
Did you cut off the sleeves yourself on that shirt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
You'll perform surgery if need be.
If I have to. And then sometimes I want a plunging neckline.
But let me ask you a question. If I want a t-shirt with a Lucha Libre style on it,
yeah,
where might I get such a shirt?
WrestleRap.com/shop.
Would that be a /shop?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, my podcast gear. But no, you could get them anywhere. Lucha Libre wrestling t-shirts have become all the rage. You can go to Pro Wrestling Tees. You can literally just search anywhere.
But isn't that fascinating, though? It's that postmodern thing again of like something from the past.
Right,
like,
but then you run the risk of, you know, direct-to-garment print, which really isn't hot.
What does that mean?
Like, if PCMC had a merchandising store,
right,
and you wanted to make a t-shirt, but you physically did not want to own a t-shirt in this house to mail out to one of your listeners,
you're right,
they would go to the website, they would buy whatever design, they could choose what color shirt they wanted on, if they wanted on a hoodie, so on and so forth.
All right. That shit's very cheap.
That's direct-to-print garment. That is not good.
That's a real crapshoot. Right, you need screen printing. You can't, and you don't want it thick. When it's that thick, it feels like plastic, no good. That's no good.
And it's layered,
and you want
too.
Soft. You want to make sure you got cotton in there.
You ever watched the screen printing process?
Done it. I've done the machine.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's really interesting.
So that's what I look for. So I won't buy certain professional wrestling t-shirts or sport t-shirts if it's a direct-to-garment
press. So
you
got to be careful online. I've seen like interesting things online where it's like, oh, that's a cool design, but I don't know. Do I roll the dice? And almost always, it's a weird cut. It's a weird. The tag says Hanes on it. It's like, oh, this is a shitty polyester blend Hanes shirt that some fucker put an interesting image on, but I'm never going to wear it because it feels like sandpaper.
And that is why I only go to thrift stores.
Yes.
Or consignment shops, or I go to a trusted buyer. I have a buyer.
Yes.
That I go through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, I mean, I have to. So that's what I do.
Okay.
I go through that. So this started on the nostalgia tip because I was cleaning out one of my dressers and I forgot that I have this bad boy. Now, this was from my original collection.
Yes.
As a child.
Yes.
It was the only professional wrestling t-shirt I ever owned.
Why is that?
For many years.
Oh.
Because I thought it was the greatest, and you can't top this one.
Yes.
In terms of like the pantheon of professional wrestling t-shirts, right? It has eclipsed the Hulkamania t-shirt.
Wow.
It's probably the most recognizable piece of wrestling merchandise.
Let's see it. Mm-hmm. Austin 316.
And then on the back.
The stone cold skull, almost in a kind of like old school tattoo style.
Yes, this is called the smoking skull.
Yeah.
And then if you look over here.
Yeah.
What's that logo say?
WWF.
World Wrestling Federation.
Not wildlife.
No.
Can I make you laugh?
And then even funkier, look what's over there. That's the actual WWF tag.
The tag, wow. Yeah.
Now that t-shirt's my oldest t-shirt. I got this when I was 12 and it's fucking pristine.
You're going to laugh. I had this. That's how popular this was. That even as someone who wasn't a wrestling fan, I had this t-shirt. Everyone had this t-shirt.
It's a pop culture thing.
The minute you brought it out of the bag, I felt it. I was like, oh, I know that skull. Now, let me ask you though, as a kid, why was this your only one? Because you were a wrestling fan kid. Why did you never had a Roddy Piper shirt or a Ultimate Warrior shirt?
No, as a kid, it was just... They were just really expensive. This was $35 at the time.
Right.
You know, and I was like, shit, man, I'm not asking my parents for $35. I'm going to save up for it my damn self. And that's what I did.
If I'm going to spend that, I might as well have a Gloob figure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd rather buy a toy.
Yeah.
Or something. You know, I had a really good wrestling toy collection.
I'm sure.
You know, and then as I got a little older, like around 17, ECW was the bee's knees.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of ECW shirts, you know, and then I got out of, I didn't get out of wrestling, but I got out of the wrestling collector side in me. So I gave away all the original ECW tees, and we'll talk about ECW in a minute, their t-shirts, which I'm kicking myself in the ass for because that company hasn't been around for 30 fucking years and their merchandise was super cold and super exclusive.
Yeah.
And that's why now they're going for like anywhere from $250 to $400 per shirt.
Wow.
Oh, fuck yeah, bro.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. But that was, this was the first one. So it made me start to think.
Well, so you refound that recently.
I refound that. Yeah, I refound this.
And it rekindled something.
So I got that. Yeah. Then I decided to really deep dive and try to get, not just based on my favorite professional wrestler, but I wanted to get the exclusivity.
Sure.
Of just having, oh, you, where did you get this from?
Right, 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 right.
So that's why I bought this next one. This is a really good one.
Lex Luger.
Yeah, this is from his Narcissist run in WWF. Narcissist.
What does the Narcissist run mean?
Okay, so,
and what an interesting word to use in their marketing.
The Narcissist.
I know, it's bold.
Yeah, Lex Luger. So if you look, before we get into that,
trademark Titan Sports 1992, World Wrestling Federation.
So that's how you know it's an official tissue.
Because
you can't post a bootleg and have their registered trademark. You can get sued as a company.
Right.
Like, so they don't do that. So this is an official WWF release, and so much so that I made sure I double checked with
your guy.
Yeah.
Do you wait? Now do you wear it though?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, so yeah. You do wear it.
I wore this to the office a couple times.
Sure.
And then you know they were like, whoa, but again. I mean, look, it doesn't crack. It doesn't. I mean,
it's lived. And this was not yours. This was when you bought.
Yeah, I bought this one. This wasn't. Vintage. It's lived in. It's soft, but the actual design itself is really good. Well, like, you know how some of the graphic design T-shirts start to crack?
Absolutely, it's not cracking. You've got a collar that's not stretched out.
Nope.
That always happens. And then you can't see this because we're on a podcast. But the real fuckers right here. The stitch on the armpit. That's where the four pieces come together. That's where they fucking...
Yeah.
That's where they disintegrate, and this is in...
Beautiful condition.
Chef's kiss.
You gotta. And you also have to worry about dry rot.
Yes.
Specifically with vintage shirts. So that's why I only really go through one dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I want to drop something, or if I'm going through, you know, thrift stores.
Uh-huh.
Like when I was traveling on the road a lot, that's what I would do. I'd hit up a thrift store,
mm-hmm.
and I would look around.
Beautiful.
Let's see what else. Okay. So now, Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirts were probably my wave for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a couple official WWE ones that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bring those today. I really wanted to look for individual standout Steve Austin t-shirts.
Yes, sir.
Just because
mm-hmm.
I think they have their own individual flair. And if you're wearing it, people are going to go, whoa, where did you get this one?
And isn't it a good feeling? I get that all the time, and I was saying to myself recently, you know, I'm just wearing t-shirts that they fucking sell all over. I have a lot of t-shirts from Target. Why do I get it? And then I realized it's because you're old, dude. It's because, like, it's not, like, for an 18-year-old to be wearing this shirt is not a big deal, but you're damn near 40, right. So you do stand out.
But see, now with this, though, you'll see maybe celebrities or influencers wearing professional wrestling t-shirts. And they may not have a clue. Like, I remember the internet was up in arms that Kendall Jenner, one of the Kardashians, was wearing an NWO t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she never watched wrestling. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she did. You don't know. But something like the NWO in 90s professional wrestling, when professional wrestling had that resurgence again... It stands out as a pop culture piece.
Right. There's an iconography of it.
Right.
I mean... like, you're not a Disney guy. I'm a Disney guy. But I know that you have said, you've expressed to me interest in the vintage Mickey shirt.
That's on my list of ones that I want.
But you're not a faker for not loving Mickey. But the Mickey shirt itself is a, you know, fucking, you, Andy Warhol wore that shirt. Like, that is the Mickey shirt.
But it's a specific one, though.
Right.
It's that one where his foot's up in the air and his hands behind his back or
something like. Classic Mickey pose. I think he's pie-eyed.
Yeah.
He's got the little skinny tail.
Yeah, like that t-shirt's hard. Like I want one.
And that'd
of those.
Be hard to find because they've redone it so many times.
Right. I'm trying to look for something where it says
H&M now has some good Mickey shirts.
But see, though. But the degenerate collector and kind of maybe it's kind of douchey.
Yeah.
You know, I want something that is kind of exclusive that you got to like, well, where did you find this one? Where did you get this? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, this is vintage. And that's why with this wrestling like thing, I started to get like offshoots.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is different. Where did you get this? And one of the ones that I love is this one, and it's lived in.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. I love the uniqueness of the t-shirt, or as I like to call them, the piece. That I had to get it. And I like the fact that this one is a little bit faded in his face a little bit.
Well, it's lived a life.
It has.
This is a Stone Cold. And his eye is a little bit faded out.
I love it. That's why. That's what made me buy this one.
But it's a genuine fade, whereas now shirts will come with an artificial faded out look to make it look vintage, even though it isn't.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this was... It wasn't... Well, it was. It was an original Titan Sports 1998 WWE t-shirt.
You know that this is a real shirt that's lived is because it was black originally and now it's a sort of off black.
Off black.
It's like a matte because it's been washed.
And I like the color contrast. It has some blue. It has some gray. It has a little bit of like a teal tint to it.
It's got his signature on it.
It has his face. It has 316, which became the thing.
So you know why I would not wear that?
Why?
Why it would not fit my aesthetic? His head's too big.
Right.
I like a shirt where I go, you know what? The Superman principle. It's got to be the center of the chest, maybe down the belly a little bit.
Okay.
But it can't be too big.
Right. Right.
It can't clash with the face. It's all to serve up this face.
No, of course. You got a beautiful face. You got to show that off more. You can't put attention onto something else.
I know. The eyes are up here.
But that shirt, that Austin shirt I just showed you, rappers would come up to me and be like, yo, where the hell did you get that? I need that piece.
Wow,
like some,
well,
like
yeah,
a rapper
yeah, yeah.
offered me $500 for that shirt off my back.
Off your back,
I was like, nah, homie, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm straight. I'm good.
Wow.
Like, I don't need your money. I mean, I do. I would take it, but.
Yeah.
So this one's a little different. Before we get back into wrestling, I was in L.A.
I wanted to describe to the audience how you handle these shirts because they can't see it on the podcast. He handles them like they're Fabergé eggs. He's holding them like
gingerly,
like they are original Matisse.
They are. They are. It's not just a piece of clothing. It's a beacon of hope.
It's a piece of pop culture ephemera.
Exactly. It's something that is indicative to me. It's something that's indicative to you, and you pay a decent amount for these fucking things, so you want to handle them.
It tells, I mean, it's well within the ideology of PCMC. It tells the story of our lives,
right.
This shit.
It acts, absolutely, Daddy. Keep on preaching. So now this one, I was in LA, and it was this clothing store called Made Worn. Now, this isn't an original vintage piece, but it is a handmade one of one that is made to be vintage.
I see.
And I love these because I got a kick out of it because, as you know, I'm a big Momoa mark.
Sure, of course.
And he was a proprietor and supporter of this company called Made Worn.
Now,
when I was in L.A. traveling for work, I think I went to L.A. in the course of 6 months. I probably went to L.A. about four times. So every time I would go, I'd buy a t-shirt from Made Worn because... How can you not?
Right.
So this one now, I love Neil Young.
Oh, sure.
Harvest Moon is one of my favorite albums. Uh-huh. So this is an actual original piece that's screen printed by Made Worn. And then they'll take like a brush and they'll go over it to give it a vintagey vibe.
Right. It's even got like a little hole in it.
Yeah.
Now I think this is a beautiful shirt and I would get a shirt like this. But it seems to... go against your beliefs.
Yeah.
Because it is not truly vintage.
No. But it has a vintagey look, which is fine to me. But I also like the company and I like what they represent and what they bring back. So this was an original Neil Young shirt from the 70s.
So it's a recreation of one that actually existed.
Yeah, that he signed off on.
Okay.
Yeah. So as long as they sign off on, I'm straight.
Cool. What did this cost you? 200?
Yeah.
That's so much for something that looks like you just pulled it out of a dead man's locker.
Cost a lot of money, look cheap, babe.
Isn't that interesting?
Cost a lot of money, look cheap.
It's such an interesting...
It is.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, what's chicer than a rich motherfucker on a fucking red carpet wearing a shirt like that that looks...
Yeah, because they can.
Right, exactly.
And they make it look good because you assume that a true, you know, I get true love within false idols. It's always one of those things where you look at somebody and you think that they know because, you know, they might have a couple of more commas in their bank account or they might have a stylist that puts this outfit together for them.
Right, right.
You know, but I've worn that Neil Young t-shirt on dates and I've gotten more compliments when I wear that thing.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Like, seriously? So, you know, and in the realm of vintage band tees, I got a couple.
Well, band tees are interesting because they are, they sort of mark your time. They sort of, like, you know, some bands obviously are popular for a long time, but band tees, especially like concert tees or tour tees, are like time stamped.
Yeah. I'm not going to find a original Led Zeppelin t-shirt from the LA Forum in 1976.
No.
It's not going to exist. And if it exists, it's probably torn to shreds. I'm not going to find a vintage Van Halen 1984 t-shirt. Maybe, but then it's going to be through the roof.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's thousands of dollars. And I'm not spending thousands of dollars. The highest I'll go with anything for a piece is $200. My wrestling t-shirts, because I know the guy and I constantly go to him, constantly.
Uh-huh.
You can, and you can, I don't know if you're fans of wrestling fans or just t-shirt fans, but you can look up his Instagram. It's called Wrestling for Sale. The number four, sale.
Okay.
And his stuff is great. Ted is... phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
He will make sure that he will go above and beyond to check the validity of the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. He only deals in real deal t-shirts. Sometimes if you ask him to find you a bootleg, which that's becoming popular now too, finding bootleg t-shirts from whether it's concerts or professional wrestling or even some like high fashion houses like Gucci or YSL, they want bootlegs of bootlegs because they know it's a bootleg. It's like, so now I'm going to collect bootleg shirts. That's what some people do.
Wow.
Now, I had this one when I was a kid, and I had to re-get it.
Okay. Ah, Chicago Bulls, Jordan.
Yeah, this is from the company called Nutmeg.
Yeah, this is, it's got the...
I wish it had the tags on it, but it didn't.
It's got the official license, NBA sort of
oh, yeah, it's
patch.
Real, it's real deal. Nutmeg is real deal.
I remember these, too. What year about?
93.
93.
I had this when I was a kid. I've worn this one twice. Just because it's a large, but it kind of fits like a medium.
Yes.
And I really don't want to fuck it up and stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like Nutmeg. I had this as a kid. I wore this shirt every day in the summer. You know, now I don't have an official horse in the race when it comes to a professional basketball team that I follow.
Right.
I don't. I was a big Jordan guy, so I followed Michael Jordan everywhere.
Right, right, right.
And then I've been bouncing around ever since. I don't have a home in that aspect.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just love basketball to the point where I will watch a good game.
Uh-huh.
But you know, Michael Jordan to me is, he's up there. It's how he's an icon. He is the man. And you know,
but through the sneakers too, he also has. He's part of a history of style as well.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I needed a Michael Jordan t-shirt that I had when I was a child. I had a a few Bulls t-shirts, and I've ordered two that I'm waiting on. I wish that they came in time for this, like their actual vintage licensed championship apparel t-shirts. So, when I get those, I'll... now, ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Of course.
It was a small little mom and pop run organization based out of like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
But they had really interesting merch and everything was DIY. ECW represented the counterculture in professional wrestling that WWE would later adopt when the ratings were starting to decline during WCW.
Right.
And these guys, now their shirts, some of them stand the test of time and then some of them don't.
Yeah.
But the two ECW shirts that I have, iconic to me. One of my favorite wrestlers, and I got a chance to interview him a couple of weeks ago. We're going to release that on WrestleRap soon. This t-shirt to me is quintessential ECW. Just incredible. That's the wrestler.
I see.
And it literally, it's just a superimposed black and white image with just some green writing in a graffiti font. There's nothing special to this t-shirt. You know, it's been worn.
Sure.
It has like that black gray look. It hangs perfectly. The graphic has stood the test of time, which is wonderful, and it just it says just incredible on it. And it has the registered trademark that it is an ECW original t-shirt.
Yes.
And then you turn it on the back and it has his catchphrase.
Not just the coolest, not just the best, just incredible.
And I wanted this because at the time, this dude was 24 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he was the breakout star in ECW.
How's he doing now?
He's all right.
Okay.
He had some demons.
Sure, don't we all?
But, you know, he's working through them. And he looks good. He sounds like he's in a good place.
That's good.
And hopefully that's all you can...
that's all any of us can hope for. All
right. Now.
All right. Here we go.
WrestleMania 8.
Yes.
Was a standout WrestleMania for many, many reasons. But one of those reasons...
Yes, sir.
...was Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
Match was fantastic. Great finish. Mm. But Roddy Piper's t-shirt...
Yes.
...was the holy grail for me. And I never could find this t-shirt.
Yes, sir.
Until now.
Oh, my God.
And I remember...
Yes.
...he was cutting a promo backstage with Mean Gene Okerlund. Mm-hmm. And Bret Hart comes in.
As Emilio's saying this, the lights are fading. I don't know how this is happening.
Magic. And he cuts this promo, but there's this t-shirt.
Yes, sir.
And it's Roddy Piper.
Now, and he himself was wearing this t-shirt. I see, I see.
Now, again, this goes against how you feel about certain t-shirt sizes when it comes to graphic.
Okay. Well, if you're in great shape, that changes the dynamic.
Brother.
And it's him. So he was wearing this shirt.
This exact shirt.
With himself on it.
Yeah, he just came off of They Live, so that's why he was really jacked in this match.
Yes.
With Bret Hart, and this is why he's really jacked in this photo. This is an original.
And it just says Roddy Piper.
Well, it's him.
Wearing, I guess, a denim jacket with nothing underneath it. Just the glazing chest.
Right. Right. Now, again, you know it's legit. Yeah, hold on. We'll get to that. Again, on the bottom, officially licensed.
Yes.
WWF
yes,
Titan.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, here's what stood out to me, even as a child. Mm-hmm. I like band t-shirts.
Sure.
But I like tour t-shirts with the venues and where they're going to be.
Yes, sir.
Here's what was unique about this one.
Oh, it's got European Rampage, Thursday the 3rd, October. So it is a tour shirt.
Yes.
And what makes a tour shirt distinctive, if you don't know, is the back will have the dates.
Now, this one is interesting because this was only in Europe.
Yeah.
This wasn't in America. If you got this shirt in America, you just got the front image. If you ordered it off the WWE catalog at the time.
Sure.
This was literally a European shirt.
Well, it's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Quite beautiful, yeah. Indeed.
And it's no dry rot, mm-hmm. Nada. So this was, to me, this is my holy grail.
And you got it.
I got it. I searched. My guy came through.
Yes.
But I got it. I have two more holy grails that I want. Yeah. But I think they're going to be hard to find. One's a Rick the Model Martel t-shirt,
uh-huh.
And then the other one's a Steiner Brothers t-shirt.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you achieve
them. I'll find them.
How do you care for your shirts? How do you launder them? How do you store them?
I hand wash them.
Wow.
I let them air dry, and then I hang them on a wooden hanger where the shoulders droop down a little bit instead of having the pointy metal rods.
Mm-hmm.
I find like those natural Sita hangers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You gotta.
I have to say, almost all t-shirts, t-shirts are one of these cultural things that they were not made to last, but we treat them that way. So a lot of t-shirts shrink.
Yeah.
And stuff, especially if you use heat. Now, I don't have a line in the backyard, so I do use a dryer, but I try to be sparing with how much heat I use. I try to put on low heat. I give it a little break. Then I put it on heat some more. I turn the shirt inside out so I don't warp the ink. But also, I don't have any vintage shirts like you. I have a lot of shirts, but they're all, you know, contemporary-ish. These are all classics that you want to take care of.
I mean, everything I've showed you, with the exception of one, is almost 30 years old.
Right.
Almost 30. And they have a history. Somebody else lived in them.
And where do you store them? How do you store them?
In my closet.
You fold them?
No, they go in a hanger.
Okay. See, I also use hangers, but it seems that many people think of t-shirts as something you should fold.
No, hell no.
Well, for me, I want to see it.
I didn't want to fold them here. I was thinking of bringing them in a garment bag.
I would have been okay with that.
Okay, cool.
Well, yeah, I want to, much like Cher Horowitz, I want to wake up in the morning and look at everything and say, what's today? What kind of outfit is today?
What am I doing?
Yeah. So I can't fold. Plus, I don't have time in my life to fold. Right.
That Empire Strikes Back poster, for some reason, reminds me of Gone with the Wind.
Because it's directly modeled after it.
The, oh, okay.
The pose that Han and Leia are doing is Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara.
So can I share something with you?
Yeah.
So when we were launching PCMC many moons ago.
Yes, sir.
You and I did talk about doing a photo shoot.
Yes.
I kind of wanted to do the gun.
Well, who
with
would
the
be the dip? Would you dip me or would I dip you?
I mean, you want to dip me, that's fine.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
You're taller, so you should be doing the dipping.
All right.
You should dip me. All
right.
We're gonna wrap it up in a second, but I want to know what you got in your bag of
all right, the two goodies here. So WCW merch is very rare and very hard to come by. The company does not exist no more.
Right.
Vince McMahon has buried it once he bought it.
Yeah.
Never coming back.
Right.
Their retro line of WCW shirts, not as good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most iconic shirts for me from my childhood was Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Steve Mongo McMichaels, and Chris Benoit together to form a reincarnation of the original 80s Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Four Horsemen was always a stable or a faction that when they needed a group of bad guys or just badasses to continue some storylines when wrestling started to dip. Well, let's just use these guys in the territories, and they would, you know, tour. They were like the rock stars, the Horsemen. So, I got an original WCW Four Horsemen t-shirt. Now, what I like about this, they actually commissioned an artist to actually paint the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's actually paint, but it's screen printed.
But the original image was painted.
Yeah.
And it's Roman numeral 4. It's a beautiful image of a horse with fire coming out of its nostrils. And it says Horseman.
Yeah, look at the color.
Four Horsemen. Red, yellow.
Purple.
Yeah.
Blue.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty t-shirt, man. And again, it's the WCW registered trademark. Because if you look and you see this shirt now, the WCW logo does not exist on the remakes.
It
does not exist. Because you'll get sued.
Right, exactly.
Not this one, though.
There you go.
I got this one now.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Finally, the end of all. This little journey. I own this. I've had this for about, I want to say, 25 years, this t-shirt. I went to ECW when they were at Sports Fest, the night that there was a full-on riot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fight. The wrestlers fought people in the crowd. But I bought this t-shirt before the show started, and it was amazing. Now, at the time, this was another faction, a stable of bad guys, but they were doing a satire. On Italian culture and stereotypes, which I loved.
Mm.
So now they had two guys. There was the big Don Tommy Rich, and then there was Tracy Smothers. Now, these men are clearly not Italian. Tracy Smothers has a Southern accent.
Sure.
And I got to meet Tracy a very, very long time ago, but he recently passed away, and about maybe like, I don't know, 7 years ago, I got a chance to meet him. He thought I was a pro wrestler. So we struck up a conversation.
Sure.
So this shirt is from ECW. It's from their Full-Blooded Italians.
Ooh, a green shirt.
Yeah, this is what stuck out to me.
Oh, it's the FBI Full-Blooded Italians. Green, white, and red, the Italian flag. Full-Blooded Italians. And then, of course, the ECW Extreme Championship now, Wrestling registered trademark.
This has never been worn.
Really?
Yeah. I just wanted it as a collector's piece.
Yeah.
This has never been worn.
I feel like
there's not even a crack on it. Look at it.
This is part of a subgenre of shirts from the 90s where it would be FBI and then it would be a pun for what FBI meant.
Yeah.
Like female body inspector.
Right. Now, when you turn it on the back.
Let's see it. Hey, you talking to me? Talking spelled T-A-W-K-I-N-G. Ta me.
How great is this?
It's beautiful.
Now, there's also an exclusive, but you really have to, you know, sacrifice your firstborn to probably get it. But there's a white shirt in that same one, which is really exclusive. Good luck finding that.
Yeah.
Good luck finding that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, this has been PCMC. Emilio Sparks, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, man.
Where can the people find you?
Okay. You can tweet me, grab me, snap me. At Emilio Sparks, EmilioSparks.
No TikTok yet.
No, you'll never get me on that. I won't be on Clubhouse.
We've got a TikTok. At PCMC Pod on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter.
Oof. I know. I love your Gilmore Girls content.
Oh. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
That's a little off air. I got some coffee from Luke's. We'll talk about
it. Oh, okay.
Bro, if you lead, I'll follow.
There you go.
This has been PCMC. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye?
Go bye-bye.
Oh, all right. I thought it was something with Goku.
Go-Gru bye-bye.
All right.